flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our Browns beat reporter Daryl Ryder is brought to us by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, good afternoon to you, sir.
Hey, Daryl.
Hello, boys. How are we?
We are well. How are you? Because you sat there and peppered Tommy Reese with questions today. What was your impression?
I think Kevin Stefanski gets a standing ovation for the fastest walk-off in history. That was outstanding. Poor Jeff Schudel.
Explain what I missed.
Hey, Kevin, can we ask you a question? No.
And he left?
And then he got up and walked off.
It's beautiful.
I got the video up on my X. People can watch it. It's kind of pretty funny. My biggest takeaway, I think, from that presser is he's the new Alex Van Pelt.
Meaning what?
That he's basically going to do pretty much what AVP did when he was here from 2020 to 2023. Kevin's going to call the plays, which, fine, great. I mean, we all know Kevin's good at that, right? So, no suspense there, but, he's going to work with Kevin as far as, drawing stuff up on the whiteboard, as far as this offense goes and trying to repair what was a catastrophe this past season with Ken Dorsey at the helm. And then working with the quarterbacks, even though we have no idea what quarterbacks he's going to be working with this year. So it's going to be very interesting to see how they put together an offense, not knowing who their quarterback is going to be.
Daryl, because I couldn't see it, read the mood for Kevin when he said he would be calling the plays. It seemed like they were laughing a little bit afterwards, but we couldn't see it. So
No. The reason why we were laughing is because, he says he's not going to call plays, right? He goes through his introductory spiel, says he's not going to call plays. And then he says, and now, happy to bring up Tommy Reese, right? And so Jeff, God bless him, he says, hey, can we ask you a question real quick? And Kevin just looked and he goes, no. And he got up from the microphone and walked off for Tommy to come up, and that's why everybody was laughing.
Gotcha. All right, so what do you think his mood is about calling plays? Is this I thought last year when he handed over the plays to Ken Dorsey that he was like, I just got to do this. We'll get through it. Doesn't really matter if I call plays because the season's over for us anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it was the ultimate just throwing hands up in the air and saying, this ain't my circus, right? I think that that's what that was, and now they hit the reset button. They're going to rebuild the quarterback room. They're going to go probably back to a similar offense, which worked, right? I mean, that was my biggest complaint when they fired Alex Van Pelt, was I felt like they were breaking something that did not need to be fixed. And so they did. And, well, this is the result, that you get. As a result of it, total yards per game, ranked 28th, total yards per play, ranked 31st rather, rushing yards per game, 29th, rushing yards per attempt, 23, passing per game, 22, passing yards per play, 32, sacks per pass play, 30th, First downs per game, 27th. Third down efficiency, dead last, 32nd. Fourth down efficiency, well, they were kind of good there, 17th, or at least not as bad. Points per game, 32nd. So, like, I mean, they just totally destroyed a fully functioning offense last year to try and, you know, make things work with Deshaun Watson by bringing in Ken Dorsey. It was an unmitigated disaster. And so now, you know, Tommy Rees is an up-and-comer. He's highly regarded in coaching circles. He's thought to be an NFL head coach in waiting. He doesn't have the pressure of calling plays on him right now. So I think that this is a good opportunity for him to take the next step in his career. And with Kevin saying, you know, hey, I reserve the right to change my mind, I certainly could see at some point, maybe not this upcoming season, but at some point, assuming these guys are around beyond 2025, I could see a point where Tommy Rees does get an opportunity to call plays. But I don't think it's going to be this year.
Daryl Ryder joining us, our Browns beat reporter. You said he's going to basically be Alex Van Pelt. Obviously, there's going to be some differences. Otherwise, they'd have just hired Alex Van Pelt and brought him back.
Hey, it's cute. You think that Alex would want to come back?
Well, I would assume that he would want to have a job, but that's neither here nor there. I'm sure if they wanted Alex Van Pelt back, they could have got him back because he needs a job right now, and they could have patched things up. Obviously, there will be some differences, some kind of different philosophy, approach, whatever, Daryl. What might that be?
I you know, not real sure. I mean, it sounds like, based on what he said today, the tight ends are going to become a thing again, right? Because the first 4 years with Kevin Stefanski, tight ends were very integral in the offense, not just from a passing game standpoint, but run blocking standpoint as well. So the use of you know, multiple tight end sets, I think we're going to see more of that. But look, I think the difference in the offense is going to come down to whoever the heck the quarterback's going to be, and whether or not that player can execute what's in front of them. And that was another interesting thing that Rees talked about, was the quarterback and the volume of decisions that they have to make, not only during a single play, but just, you know, for a game, right? So you need a quick thinker out there as well that's going to make good, sound, solid decisions with the football, which obviously last year that was a little bit of a problem. So you know, I really think, Jeff, that whoever the quarterback or quarterbacks will be, I think that's really going to kind of dictate, you know, what this offense ultimately is going to look like, because Rees said a couple of times, you know, this is going to be predicated on the skill sets of the players, right? Well, right now you don't know what the skill sets of your quarterback are because you don't have a quarterback. So, you know, you think that there's a little wait and see to be had here.
Truthful opinion. You know, we sit here and we try to debate on whether, you know, the offensive coordinator is calling the plays or the head coach is calling the plays. If everything's right, shouldn't the play calling be kind of a no-brainer between the two of them anyway, going into the week, knowing that they go through hypotheticals throughout the week about, okay, if we're in this position, we should probably call this play or that play? In some ways, is play calling a little bit overrated because there is some groupthink that goes into what's happening on each play?
I mean, I won't say it's overrated, but I kind of like the fact that Kevin Stefanski has the car keys back. And Andy Reid calls plays. Nobody complains about that, mm-hmm. Right?
Well, how many of
Kevin's the
but
I mean,
here's a question for you.
This will shock people. Kevin Stefanski's not the first head coach to call his own plays.
No,
and he's
not going to
be the last.
But here's a question for you. I mean, how many times do you think Andy Reid's plays are broken? Like, as soon as you know, they say, hike, the play that he called might be over.
Yeah.
And then you've handed the ball to the quarterback, and he better be making the right call.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing what happens when you have a quarterback can think on his feet, right, mm-hmm. and play the game at an elite level. So now, guess what? Andy Reid looks like a genius, whereas, you know, Kevin Stefanski or Ken Dorsey, they don't look so good because the quarterback's not out there executing, and the offense is, you know, unwatchable. It's not producing first downs. They're not moving the football. They're not putting points on the scoreboard, right? So you're only as good as the players are executing on the field. So to me, that's the biggest area they need improvement, right? I mean, you can't have the volume of pre-snap penalties, the Browns. That's why I asked Reese today about that. You know, how do you get rid of that stuff? Because it was a major problem last year. Not only could you not line up correctly, but that you couldn't even execute basic motions correctly, right? You know, every week they're being out, well, you know, there's not enough motion being run in this offense. According to this metric here, you guys are ranked this. And it's like, well, they can't line up correctly. How are you expecting them to execute a motion? Because every time they execute a motion, a yellow hanky comes out. So that's execution. The coaches can't go out there and line up for them. And I liked what Reese said. And I don't want to say it was a shot at Dorsey, but I kind of think it was, right? When he said, hey, it's got to be a simple, concise set of instructions. And I'm paraphrasing there. But and so maybe the system last year was just a little too not so concise. And so, you know, that, you know, it created problems. And, you know, we heard it toward the end of the season, you know, the frustration with getting away from the wide zone blocking scheme and what that offensive line was actually built to do. They weren't being asked to do anymore. And then they were put in front of quarterbacks who couldn't execute. So, you know, and that's why you have half the locker room looking at each other like, why did they blow this thing up? Why did we have to spend an offseason learning a whole new offense and learning all these new drills, this, that, and the other? If none of it works. So I kind of have a feeling that they are going to turn back the clock a little bit. There's going to be a lot of the original Kevin Stefanski concepts reintroduced. I don't know about the language. But it also does sound like that Tommy Reese is going to be able to sprinkle in his own flavor as well.
Daryl Ryder is joining us. He's our Browns beat reporter. Tommy was asked about the quarterback he worked with at Alabama, Jalen Milroe. Didn't have much to say. Daryl, we've run some
sound. He was asked about a few quarterbacks and did not have much to say. I'm looking forward to the evaluation process, Jeff. That might be my answer to a few questions. Go ahead. Here we go. Let's try it out.
We found some sound of Tommy from the pre-Rose Bowl press conference in 2023 with Milroe as his quarterback, and he had a lot to say about Jalen Milroe.
Uh-huh.
I would think that the fact that they have a history and a relationship together does not really come into play whether he's the second pick in this draft or not. Yay or nay?
If he's the second pick in the draft, I might quit. He's
Browns,
not worth
take Milroe. There you go.
He's not worthy of the second pick in the draft, Jeff.
Daryl, I'm just saying. I've seen him in some mock drafts going number two. I've heard him. I've seen him listed as the most talented quarterback. I've seen him not even in the first round of Mel Kiper's mock draft. He's all over the place. My point is,
there's a reason for that, right?
Well,
that tells you all you need to know.
No, it doesn't. But
yeah, it does.
My point is,
nobody knows if he's any good.
Well, that's the point. Tommy Reese should know if he's any good. I wonder if that comes into play.
He's looking forward to evaluating the situation there, Jeffrey.
Okay. Well, he has evaluated him. I just wonder. I wouldn't take him at two myself.
I wouldn't either. But I just said I'll quit if they take him.
But I wonder. I wonder though.
I would be stunned.
But I wonder if they try to move up to get him.
Yeah. I would be shocked if they took him at two. I really would.
Well, I would too. But that doesn't mean you still can't try to acquire a guy if somebody really likes him. I mean, they need somebody, Daryl. They're going to be looking for somebody. So wonder if that connection means anything to anybody other than Tommy Reese.
If someone wants to come up to two to get Milroe, go for it, man. Andrew Berry's taking your calls right now. I don't know what his phone number is there out in Berea, but he'll be glad to take your call if you want to come up to two so you can take him.
What do you think the Browns are going to do it to? If the draft was tomorrow, what do you think they would do positionally? I don't need a name.
Well, I said this on the morning show the other day. My gut tells me that they're going to do exactly what I don't want them to do.
Trade down?
No. Jeff, that's what I want them to do.
Draft
I'm begging and pleading for them to trade down. Or to do anything but picking a quarterback at number two. Like, I do not want them spending a first-round pick on these quarterbacks. This class isn't worthy. I'm going to, you know, in the next couple of weeks here, really kind of take a deeper dive. But based on everything that I've been reading so far, like even Cam at number one overall, I think is a reach. Shedeur at two, that's a reach. Like, I watched some of Colorado's games this year live. I was not at all impressed with Shedeur Sanders. Took a lot of sacks. I don't think the arm's all that great. Like, I just, you know, I'm not buying the hype. That I don't buy the hype with any of these quarterbacks. I'm fine. You want to spend a mid-round pick on a guy, throw a little something against the wall? Sure, no problem. But spending a high top five first-round pick on one of these quarterbacks, I think you're reaching.
So what do you do?
I trade down, hopefully, preferably stay in the top eight, and then collect an extra draft pick for the first round in 2026. And now I have the ammunition of my first-round pick, the first-round pick I acquired, plus I have my first-round pick in 2027. That gives me three first-rounders to move up and go get a quarterback next year. I think this year is a bide your time. Get as much of the offense and the team back together and functioning as humanly possible this year, but next year aim for drafting one of those, you know, top quarterbacks, because I have to think that the quarterback class coming out next year is going to be much, much better than the one that's coming.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Coming out this year.
Tommy Rees said, with defensive players being as skilled as athletic as they are now, you need quarterbacks who can create and extend plays.
Mm-hmm.
Was that just lip service, or was that just telling?
No, what did you just ask earlier about Andy Reid and play calling and busted plays right out of the gate, right? I mean, that's why you need that. Things do not go, you know, as smoothly as we expect or we think they go, even in success. Right? I mean, there's so many instances when you're watching games where, yeah, there are busted offensive plays, but the quarterbacks are able to extend and able to make something out of nothing, of those broken plays. And that's what you need to be successful in the NFL. And there are different tiers of guys with those capabilities, right? Tier one is Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, right? I mean, that's what you need. I'll put Joe Burrow in there too. I got to put Burrow in there too. So, the Browns have to, find that guy that can do that. It, not only can you execute the basics, but when stuff is hitting the fan and not going well or going right, or a play breaks down right out of the gate, you know, what can you do to salvage it? You know, make good decisions, whether it's throwing the ball away, whether it's being patient as you're extending the play outside the pocket and looking down the field, waiting for somebody to get open, or having the confidence to throw to a spot with the expectation that your receiver's going to do their job and be where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be there, right? That's all, you know, part of that job. And just it's, you know, unfortunately, the Browns, have been unable to find that guy. And, they're back in the market. looking for it. But, you know, I think that's what, you know, Tommy Rees was talking about. Not so much that you need an RPO quarterback, but you need a guy that can salvage things when they go south in the middle of a play.
Daryl, we have 1 minute. Any updates or are things all quiet on the dome front? 1 minute.
Things have kind of calmed down. I think they've exchanged their wars of words right now. And, you know, I know the Browns are still trying to work behind the scenes to, you know, get the financing together. And we're still waiting on these, you know, the legal portion of it, right? And the courtroom portion of it to, you know, to take place and ultimately get resolved.
All quiet at the airport, then. Okay.
Well, until Daryl goes to pick up the guy they take it to, the quarterback.
I'm going to tell you what, man. if they take Milroe, I that might give me the big one. Like I know at some point in life the big one's coming. If they take him at two, I might have the big one.
I didn't say him. I said whoever they took quarterback at two.
Now, if they take a quarterback too, I still may have the big one.
All right.
Thank you, buddy.
Elizabeth's calling on line one. Go.
Elizabeth. Thank you, D.
You bet, guys. Have a good weekend.
It's our Browns beat reporter, Daryl Ryder. He's brought to us by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store.